Am I still in some kind of fever dream right now, Tony?
I don't know.
I may be.
I keep saying Mannix? Because I know
you
the
did.
Guy's name is
it's
Matrix.
It's Matrix.
Yeah.
I would know, and I would know enough to correct you, because Stoff is all over your junk right now
on Matrix.
Twitter. It's Matrix. John Matrix.
And he was ridiculous. Just go watch the first half hour of Commando. It's silly. The things he can do, it's silly.
That's fine that he's silly. He's not an indestructible cyborg from the future. So let's leave it at that. Everyone knows. And even the guy who wrote the article knows. He's kind of fudging with the outcome.
Oh, he's having some fun. Yeah.
Right. If you didn't do that, everybody would be like, well, duh, Terminator 1. What's the point of doing that? All right. Much like Superman would really beat Batman if he cared enough about it. Double D is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Donovan?
I'm doing pretty good, big man.
You were just up in Chicago for the draft, right? What were you doing up there?
No, it was great, man. Got a chance to go up there with the NFL Legends community, and we got a chance to host one of the lounges for guys and their families and all the draft picks and everybody just building a social event for guys to come around and get connected. And so it was great seeing all those guys up there, guys from all types of generations, just coming together and just sharing stories and just building one another up. So
were you in the hall, the draft hall on Thursday night for the first round?
No, I was on Thursday night. We were actually at the Palmer's Hotel. We actually was hosting a viewing party.
Okay.
For former guys and their families, and also draft picks and their families who did not go over to the hall there. But on Friday night, I was.
Okay.
I was up there in that lonely green room.
Well, you were up there in the lonely green room. I was outside in the lonely rain, and I think that's why it finally caught up to me over the last couple of days, 48 hours or so, and it knocked me out yesterday. But what a crazy first night, right? As you're looking at it from a former player perspective, you didn't have to live through the age of social media, at least when you were going through the NFL draft. And what happened with Laremy Tunsil, which could have certainly impacted him, it looks like Baltimore was well aware of what was going on and, kind of conflicting stories as to whether or not they would have pulled the trigger on him instead of Ronnie Stanley. So ultimately, somebody getting in, and it may be a former financial advisor is what they seem to be indicating right now, a guy that he had hired late in the year last year, and I guess the guy got fired, whatever, and was bitter that he's not going to get a piece of his action, Donovan. You're a guy who works with these players, tries to teach them about some of the pitfalls that they're going to face, right, and how to handle their transition to life to the National Football League, and then you work with guys coming out of the league to transition back into life. How important is it to find people that are trustworthy to work with, and how do you do that? How do you go about vetting people? Because when you're a prospect these days, everybody knows it, and everybody's coming at you.
Man, that is a loaded question. In short, I empathize, first of all, with Laremy Tunsil from the fact that you work your whole life to get up to that point where you want your name to be called, you want to receive that, you want that phone call to be made for you, your family, to celebrate all you've done. And to have it preluded with a video of a situation that, you willingly chose to do. Now, granted, we all did things if social media was around and there were video cameras all around. Somebody could have caught us doing a whole lot of other things. And so it's just unfortunate for that point. I think the teaching moment in that is you don't need to videotape every single thing that you do. And I think that's...
And save it.
And that's right.
If you're going to, maybe not share it or save it.
Exactly. Or at least don't put the goggles on so you can see who's recording you, even if you didn't know it was being recorded.
Apparently the story is the financial advisor he got him a new phone, said, hey, let's get you a new phone, get everything updated. And he took his old phone as if to, quote, dispose of it for him. And I guess hung on to it. At least that's what they suspect.
I have, it's interesting. Since I left there, I have not followed it. So this is new. This is news to me.
I just read this yesterday, and again, I was in a fever haze, so it may not be accurate, but I think it is, that he got him a new phone, and Tunsil never updated his passwords, and so he just went and logged in on his old phone and all his social media accounts, and had obviously been planning this for a while to drop those bombs right before he got drafted, and then B, once he got drafted, to add more out there on Instagram with the conversation between Tunsil and his former assistant coach at Ole Miss.
That's unfortunate. I think, like they say, you're going to reap what you sow. And for that if it was that financial advisor, I don't think anything good is going to come out of this for him. I think they may have a potential lawsuit, given the fact that Baltimore did say that they did pass on that. But again, I don't know what the nature of the relationship is. I would just hope that there will be some repercussions down the line.
Well, you're right. There is a potential lawsuit. It can be a felony if you basically use somebody's social media, let's call it hacking just as a general overall term, to cause them specific financial harm. And that's what
he
may have done.
From 6 to what, 13?
Well, 6 at least. Who knows? Right. You know, were the San Diego Chargers in play for him at number 3? A lot of people thought they might be. They say they've been on Bosa forever. Maybe they were. It may be impossible to prove, but... you know, because look, the pundits overestimate guys every year, but it seemed like Tunsil was the consensus best prospect, best pure prospect on the field in this draft, by many. Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack competing for the best defensive prospect. Of course, the Jags got them both. Got them both.
That
so we'll talk about that. We'll get your reaction, Donovan, to what's been a very productive offseason in total for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we'll discuss it with you out there today as well. Draft in the rearview mirror. The free agency for the major lifting in free agency over with as well. So we ask you today, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day, what has been the best offseason pickup for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Best single pickup, free agent, or draft pick, which one player will be most crucial to their success? And you can look at it however you like. If you want to say, hey, I'm looking long-term as well as this year, you can define it however you want, but who is the best pickup for the Jags? And as a bonus, if you want to tweet us, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at, what are you right now? You're at Donovan Darius, right? Just simply at Donovan Darius.
Yes, sir.
Tweet us your best pickup lines as well, all right? And we'll share some of the better ones that we get. But we're in a new day and age, okay? All this swipe left, swipe right might go right over my head. So what's your best in-person pickup line? Do people still use pickup lines in person, Tony?
I'm sure they do.
Do people meet face-to-face anymore? Jordan, do people still meet face-to-face ever?
No.
No, didn't think so. So wow. What's your best?
Like David Ortiz on Saturday Night Live, his new dating service. I got a great new dating service. Go outside.
Go outside. Hey.
You want to meet somebody?
There's some people.
Go outside.
Say hello. But that doesn't happen anymore. And I appreciate Jordan playing the role of Tyler Devitt today as being very succinct on that. No, we do not meet face-to-face anymore. All right, if you'd like to get in, 641-1010 is the number. Let's look at the offseason as a whole up until this point. The rookies coming in tonight for orientation. They'll be out on the field in a limited capacity, a very limited capacity, I would suspect. I think 25 folks will be at the rookie orientation for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So we'll discuss a bunch of them, as well as the free agent pickups that they've made and who is the single best pickup that they've had this offseason. We'll review it all with Donovan Darius. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jordan DeArmond in for Tyler Devitt. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
We're okay. We're not in any kind of danger. It is maddening. I will say that it is quite maddening to be in this room and trying to broadcast. I guess we'll try to talk some Jaguars football.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I thought they said it was built.
Holy cow.
Not built yet, apparently. It's still doing some construction. So sorry I missed yesterday's show. So sorry.
It was like out of nowhere, too. Like, we were fine for the first, like, hour and 15 minutes of the show.
Oh, is that when the drilling was happening?
Yeah.
The jackhammer, dude.
And then, like, 11:15, all of a sudden, it's just right above our heads.
Tell me it sounded like before, like it's been right above us, right?
It sounded like that, but this was, I mean, it
clearly that's a lot worse than it's ever been.
It felt like it was in the room with you. It was crazy.
Because you and I were almost like, we tune it out, Tony. We go over there and, you know, Mark Lamping, it puts a big smile on his face. He's like, hey, we're breaking eggs, man. Yeah. We're making omelets.
Yeah.
We're progress.
Like, if you're in the room, you can kind of hear it in the distance, but we've talked to, like, listeners will say, we don't know if you can hear that or not, and we'll get feedback that they're saying, no, we can't
no,
hear
No, we don't
anything.
Hear that. Yeah, we hear it, but that's fine.
Yeah, there was no way yesterday.
Like, we heard everything. I actually tuned in yesterday. I heard it all.
Wow, yeah, well, I figured I was gone.
Crazy.
Double D's got to tune in. He's like, Dempsey's off.
Yeah.
It's time to get some good info.
I joked around that, you know, I'd always dreamed of being an embedded reporter, and now I know at least what it sounds like.
You were almost a buried alive reporter, I think. Wow, that was some serious work going down. Hey, look, all you club seat people, you're going to be very happy. It's all going to pay off.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and we'll struggle through. We'll be okay. I don't know what we're doing tomorrow, Tony. Some of the players will be on the field tomorrow. I'd like to be over there. Have a chance to maybe snag one or two of them if the timing works out. But We'll see. Got to be able to hear the hosts speaking through the microphone.
It's kind of necessary.
Yeah, one of the guys will be on the field, of course, Jalen Ramsey. We'll get to him momentarily. We've got the apparently Kevin's got all the pickup lines. I don't know if Kevin's a married man or not. I don't know if any of these have worked over time. Jordan, give me a quick rating here on a scale of 1 to 10. I know people don't meet in person anymore, but if you did meet in person and someone, you know, obviously you have to be somewhat attracted to them, but let's see. Do you believe in love at first sight, or should I walk by again?
A three.
Yeah, it's pretty cheesy, right? I mean, look.
Yeah, you're not going to get five more minutes from me.
Pickup lines are cheesy just by their definition, though, right? You're so beautiful, you made me forget my pickup line.
I've heard that one. That's worse than the first.
That's worse, right? It is worse. That's worse than the first. He's coming strong. He says, this is my favorite. Do I know you? You look a lot like my next girlfriend.
So he hasn't gotten a date in a while.
I don't know. He's got a lot of pickup lines at the ready, so I'm guessing no. We'll put that at, what, a 3.2 or?
Maybe lower than that.
Maybe I'd even lower.
2.1.
Oh, last one. Sorry. Was that an earthquake, or did you just rock my world? No, sorry. That's the jackhammer down at the stadium, Kevin, is what that is. None of us... I don't know if they made a collective 10 for the four lines that came in. But keep them coming. Let's see if we can get something better. I found some pretty good ones earlier online. But what we're asking for is the best Jaguars pickup of the offseason, free agent or draft pick. Or if you've heard one of the guys out at the beaches make a particularly deft move on a young lady, we'd like to hear what line they used for that as well. All right, coming up, we'll hear from Dave Caldwell, who's on NFL Network. He's been all over the place this week. He sat down with us right before the draft, and we'll probably get a chance to catch up with him next week, I would think, Tony, and reflect on everything that they've done now in the offseason with the draft class.
He kind of walked by during the show yesterday. Ryan and I were talking specifically about Neil Sterling, and Dave like popped his head in, and he was giving the blab sign at O'Halloran. I was like, well, let's just ask him, can Neil Sterling play wide receiver or tight end? He's like, he can play whatever he wants. And then he walked
he kept
back
going.
Down. It was great.
Big Cat Country, by the way. I think it was Alfie's first run at the roster. You know, and I respect the fact that you're willing to throw your roster predictions out there right now, Donovan, because nobody knows really what's going to happen. But Neil Sterling, not to be a forgotten guy, right, was a draft pick last year, and he's a bigger guy, gives you something different that you don't have embodied in a lot of those receivers on the team. I mean, Allen Robinson's a big guy, but he's a big acrobat down the field. Neil Sterling looks like that kind of – he looks like Jordan Reed a little bit, right, Tony? Who just got the big fat deal today, by the way.
Yeah.
With $20 million guaranteed, I think a $50 million contract, five-year deal. Man, just stay healthy for one season, apparently, and you're going to get paid in the National Football League if you are productive. Back to Jalen Ramsey, where we wanted to begin with Double D. You've got some personal experience working with this guy, right?
Yeah, I do. Actually, several years ago, it might have been 2013 or 2012, Nike has this 707 championship series that they do. They go throughout every city, major cities, and guys come out and run 40s and compete in all different type of combine type of events as well as 707. And then if you're good enough in that local tryout, they give you an invitation to Oregon basically during July for what they call their Nike opening championship, which are basically the top 100 skill guys in the country plus the top 50 linemen as well. And so during those 3-4 days, they go, you know, they team them up and they go against each other, the top guys. You actually get drafted. So the year I was there, and I did it for a few years, we got a chance to draft guys, you know, wide receivers, I mean, everybody. And the funny thing was that Jalen Ramsey was on my team, and he was our first pick of our draft.
Number one overall pick.
He was our number one. He was our number one guy. He was ranked the highest, and he was a special guy then. I remember seeing his size, seeing his intangibles. We sat down, and we went through a lot of different coverages and what I was expecting for those guys to do, and it was great. And so to follow him through that time, to seeing him even at the combine when I went up there, you know, to kind of be around the guys, and then to see him now is great. It's a full cycle of just what this opportunity that these guys have, man. And you can see him, you know, early on in these guys' lives when you see them, how what kind of guy is going to be different, who's going to be a different maker. And so he's a guy that really stood out to me then.
You know, physically, you don't see many cornerbacks come into the league with the skill set that he potentially has. I mean, just in terms of the raw athleticism that he offers you. When you had that time with him, do you recall how good was he? Like, if you coach him on a certain or particular point, like, hey, look for this, how quickly did that he incorporate those into his practices and into the game?
And that was the key thing. And I share with those guys, I said, you know, the difference between good and great is a lot of times how fast do you process. And in those short 3 days that we had, I gave them a lot of different things in terms of coverages and what we were going to do and what I expected out of them. And he was one of the guys that really picked it up, understood everything from the alignment to assignment to technique to run pass keys, whatever it was we were looking for. And he made some plays. He made plays out there. He got interceptions. He got hands on receivers. And it was really, he really separated himself. Although he didn't have as many picks as the guy Landon Collins, you know, the draft pick a few years ago, you can tell that this guy was really, really special. And so, plus the fact that he can leap out of the gym.
Oh, he can. Yeah, that's athletically, he can do it all. And you want to really take that skill set to the next level and prove you're worthy of being a top five pick, you got to come up with those turnovers, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's bad to break up passes, but if you've got the opportunity, if you really want to be a top five game changer, you got to be able to hang on to the football. It's interesting because Landon Collins, a strong safety is what he developed into. You know, you don't typically think of those guys as the guys making breaks on the ball and coming up with the turnovers. But when you looked at the way things played out, and all the speculation, and you couldn't have known the exact state of Miles Jack's knee. Was Jalen Ramsey the ideal pick to fall to the Jags in your mind at number five?
I mean, I think he was, considering how everything else worked itself out. Again, I don't know all the specific needs that the Jaguar have in terms of how they rank guys, but I think that being a defensive back, understanding the importance of having guys that you can trust, guys who have been on the gridiron and guys who have made plays at a very high level, I think that's what you need. I think prior to this year, we haven't had those guys. We had guys that had some limited time playing other places, and now they're trying to come into their own. But I think with a guy like him who's made the plays, who has the intangibles, and then also building around him with all the other draft picks, I think it really builds an opportunity for him to do some great things.
They're going to need him right away. What's the biggest challenge a rookie defensive back faces in making that transition now into his first year in the league?
You always hear about the speed, and it's not that guys are faster. It's just that things happen faster. And so in college, you may take a certain angle, you know, to a offensive guy who has the ball. And that's because the college average speed is, you know, could be what it is. But when you get to the NFL, a guy gets to that same point a little faster. So now you have to adjust your angles. You have to see things over and over and over, and you have to process things a lot faster. You're not guessing on anything, but you're anticipating based off of study. And so every rookie that comes into the league will have a learning curve. And what shortens that learning curve is how fast do they understand the defenses? Do they understand the strengths of the defense and the weaknesses, so they can play to their, you know, to the defensive strength, and then understand, you know, what they need to do and where they need to be. So that's a learning curve for everybody.
And I feel like Jalen Ramsey's one of these guys, based on what I've heard him say in interviews leading up through the draft process. He feels like a real alpha dog type personality, where, you know, he's got an older brother where he was basically running that crew, you know, where it's guys 3-4 years older than him. He was the guy in that group of friends, and it feels like he kind of carries himself with that kind of attitude. How important is that as a corner, especially a guy being picked in the top five? And did you notice that when you saw him a couple years ago?
Every time I've been around him, he's always presented himself, you know, in a professional way, a humble way, but yet still confident, not arrogant. And that's what you want. You want a guy who loves what they do, who's confident in his ability, but yet still open to learn. And I think they did a segment, I don't know if it was on ESPN with him and Deion, and Deion's talking to him, and he's eating it up, and he's applying it. Same time, every time I was with him, and we get a chance to just sit and we just get a chance to talk, he doesn't present himself as a person who he feels that he's totally arrived. He comes across as somebody that, yes, he's had success, but there's still other levels. And I think those are the guys that you really can build around.
All right. Well, they obviously have him for a long time, hopefully, to build around. And we'll talk about Miles Jack, the guy they picked up in round number two, and some of the other draft picks that the Jags were able to secure last week. The Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day: which has been the single best pickup of the offseason for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Here's one for you, Jordan. Duval Doom says, this is the best pickup line going in Duval County right now. Hi, I'm Blake Bortles, and I'm your quarterback. One to ten. What chance of success does that one have on a scale of 1 to 10?
You are not Blake Bortles, so bye.
Oh, but what if you are Blake Bortles? I think it's the point, if that's an actual true fact. You're not Blake Bortles, so goodbye. And one look at Duval Doom, and he's not Blake Bortles, brother. We love you, Doom, but you're not Blake Bortles, okay? Wow, Doom got shut down very quickly. That might have been the worst grade yet. Share your best pickup lines if you're so inclined as well. 641-1010. The text line is open, driven by Duval Ford. The phone lines are open. Double D is in the house. Donovan Darius, one of your all-time Jaguar greats. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jordan DeArmond here with you. We'll come back. We'll hear a little bit from Dave Caldwell as he appeared on the NFL Network earlier this week talking about the latest Jacksonville Jaguars draft haul. This is 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I don't know if they're all sarcastic. I think this one may have actually been a little bit real. Several people have put Brad Nortman in. Our guest earlier this week on Jaguars said has the best pickup of the offseason. This guy said the best Jags pickup is Nortman because that means we no longer have Brian Anger, basically. So he said we no longer have our weapon, but we all know who he is referring to. Hello, beautiful. How are you? Mind if I try to make you my forever? Really?
Once again, these guys must never have been on a date or...
Forever? Do you say that in person? I mean, are these text pickup lines now? What are these tweet lines? Forever. Tony,
that's
number four,
bad.
Ever.
That's,
mind
that's
if I try to
bad.
Make you my forever? Poor single Clarence out there right now. We've got some doozies coming in. I think we've had maybe three times as many pickup lines as actual submissions for the best Jaguar pickup
of
the offseason.
I like the pickup lines.
We have fun. Please ask Donovan Darius as a question on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Please ask Double D if he ever played strong safety into cover three, which you have. And do you think that Miles Jack could play that position in a base defense and slide down a linebacker in the nickel, Double D?
No, I think he can. And of course, yeah, I played cover two, three, one, you name it. As it pertains to Miles Jack, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, their defense has a very unique situation in that they have multiple safeties who can do in today's society with today's game where it's spread, where you have to come down and cover receivers, you have to cover space. You know, there's no such thing typically as just a box safety unless that's your skill set. Skill set meaning I can't be put in space. If it's a receiver in front of me, you better double it or things like that. But I think of guys like Miles Jack, Cyprian.
Sample.
Sample, and even a free agent we picked up.
Tayshawn Gibson.
I think all these guys are very much interchangeable. You're asked to, when you come down as a linebacker, you're asked to play, you know, to fill a gap or you're asked to cover space, whether it's the flats, whether it's the hook area, whether it's the curl area, and you can do that. You do that as a pure safety, no matter what type of linebackers you have. So I believe that he'll be able to do that. We used to have defenses where our linebackers, they were in a flat, but then they went and played cover two. They played the deep safety. And so I think the key thing is having guys, and going back to the question of the best picks that they have, I think Miles Jack was by far their best pick because of his potential, because of what he did, and the fact that we got him at a time that we didn't expect.
Major him. Discount.
Yes, oh, right. A major discount. And so I think that he is probably their best pickup. And so, again, I'm excited. I'm excited with what the picks we have, especially five defensive draft picks in a row. I mean, you can't beat that. It does show you where your heart is. And so I'm just excited to see what they're going to do.
I really believe him, too. He said so much about how he really thought Jacksonville was going to be the fit for him, the place he wanted to land. And look, nobody's happy. You can't be happy on you losing out on millions of dollars.
Well,
but
sure. You know, it doesn't feel the same as Laremy Tunsil saying, I'm just happy to be in Miami. Right? Like, you can sense the kind of disappointment that Tunsil has that this is where I wound up because I expected to be somewhere else. With Jack, you can feel the disappointment that I wasn't selected where I think I should be selected. I wanted to be the Jaguars pick at five. but this is where I wanted to be.
Right.
And that comes across as very genuine, and I think you're right, Donovan. It gives them a ton of flexibility with what they can do with him in that defense, and I think at times, instead of having Ciprian or Sample on the field as kind of that safety in the box, Jack can almost fill that role so that you can just put the guys behind him, put your best athletes in the secondary on the field behind that guy and let him play that role, especially on third down. I think it could be great for this defense going
forward. I think you're right. When our defense, when we played and we had a good front seven, the Stroud, the Hendersons, it allowed us to play one of the best defenses that you can play in the league is what we call cover four. That's where the corners are kind of manned up on the outside and the safeties are sitting at like 10 yards. And the responsibility of the safeties is that if there's a run, you insert yourself. Now you're a man in a box. But you have to be able to have good run pass keys. If it's a pass, now you're back. And so you're not forced one way or the other. And so you put a lot of the onus on the ability of that safety to read. And if the Jacksonville can solidify their upfront guys like they have been, and hopefully with all the picks they can, these guys will be able to do just that. They'll be able to have the ability to cover when it's, you know, when it is a pass and come up and feel things for a limited game.
Yeah, I don't even think they, as the team, know exactly how they're going to use Miles Jack this year. They probably have all these ideas of how they might be able to use him, but I really think they're sitting there saying, let's see it all play out on the field, you know, because I think he play any of the three linebacker positions. He may play the auto almost by default, you know, if you feel like you're going to get another solid year on first and second down out of Paul Posluszny in the middle. Telvin's got the weak side, but he's going to be on the field. I mean, you don't that skill set, particularly going to be on the field on third downs, as we've mentioned many times. He's been called the best coverage linebacker that many pundits have ever graded coming into the National Football League. By the way, you mentioned Tunsil once again. Got this one in on the text line. We were talking about his former financial advisor for a brief period of time being the prime suspect in leaking these videos. Somebody texted in, a financial advisor, even a former one, would have a fiduciary duty not to reveal personal info apart from proving financial loss. His license should be suspended. Oh, trust us. We're not saying he could have or should be getting away with it, or he thought he was allowed to do this. He didn't expect, and if it's in fact the guy that they suspect it is, the Dolphins are investigating it, he didn't even think he was going to get found out. That's why he's doing it. And he's a bitter guy out for revenge, apparently, and he's doing it specifically to harm Tunsil. So we were not suggesting, if anybody interpreted it that way, that because he was his financial advisor, he could put out any kind of information he wanted about Laramie Tunsil. Getting a lot of love from Leek Jackson, by the way, on the text line. Somebody also asked this kind of random question to settle a bet. New England was stripped of their first-round pick. They were wondering if they were allowed to make a trade to get in the first round to settle an office bet. Yes, they could have. They could have. Once their picks were set, if they had taken those two second-rounders and packaged them with something else to get into the late first, if some team was willing to trade with them, absolutely.
The stipulation on it was the league was clarifying it even the day of the draft. They could have traded back in the first round, but were not allowed to pick above number 29, which is where they would have been slotted.
So they couldn't have picked above 29.
So if they had traded to like 27, they would have just have to wait till 29 is on the clock. Before
right,
they make
because
that
they would
pick.
Have to give up their highest first-round pick. But they could have traded back into the first round.
Yes.
Right. Pickup lines here. I can see me and you a year from now laughing together. It's not as bad as the other ones.
It wasn't as bad. I'd give that one a 6.2.
6.2. Wow. Now you're just looking out of desperation to throw a bone to somebody. Want to make out? Hey, it says it's worked many times, but then again, I live in a resort town.
Yeah, no.
That's the direct method, no?
No, I would recommend not going with the direct method.
Is that right?
Method, because you might end up with a fist in the face.
Maybe more indirect, you'd suggest?
Yeah, be a little bit more discreet.
All right, a little crooked line to the finish. Let's see.
How many punches to the face, but out of 10... How many times are you willing to get punched in the face with that pickup line to get one girl to say yes?
Oh, I know dudes that would go 50 straight, I think, Donovan, because they figure girls don't hit that hard. That's what they think, Jordan. I'm not saying it's true. All right? I just know guys that would have gone at least 50 deep on that. You drink enough Southern Comfort, you don't even feel it. That was the operating method. This one, I cannot believe this has ever worked. Someone says this is a line that they say it's worked more than you think it would. This has never worked in the history of lines. Do you mind if I share this space with you while my fart clears out over there? That's never worked And I doubt that guy's ever said that to someone.
He just wanted to hear you read that.
He did. And I'll read anything because I'm Anchorman, all right? You look like a tall glass of water, and I sure am thirsty. What is that, a pickup line from 1940?
Right.
Honestly? Hey, you're a tall drink of water there, sister.
Yeah.
Is that a mirror in my pants because I can see myself in them? That one's been around forever.
Yeah.
Are you an eligible receiver of my phone number?
Ooh, okay. I like the creativity.
All right, yeah, she likes that
one
a little
bit.
I like
football, so I'll give you like an 8.
Don't be super macho, right? Don't be just like, hey, me and you, babe, right now. And maybe make you laugh a little bit is what I'm picking up
here. Yeah, no, like, let's make out. Or
excuse me, can you help me, please? I was blinded by your beauty. That just seems awful.
That's desperate.
That's pretty cheesy.
This one, you'd think this is going to be something else, but it's not. So, did it hurt?
Did what hurt?
When you broke through the earth's crust from the pits of hell. You see, you think it's going to be something else, like when you fell from heaven, right? But no, it's not.
So where do you live?
It's not that. Exactly. Where do you live? See, that worked out perfectly. I got a 9.9 out of Jordan D'Armond. All right, if you want to share your best pickup lines, more importantly, share your best, your thoughts on the Jags' best pickup of the off season.
Yes.
We're looking for that free agent or draft pick. We'll get more of Donovan's thoughts on the draft class coming up. And also we'll hear from Dave Caldwell. As we said, he's been making the rounds of some of the national media this week, much in demand as the Jags are kind of the hot team to talk about coming out of the NFL draft. Coming up, the State in Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL with Donovan Darius, with Fat Tony and Jordan D'Armond. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, something important happened in Mexico on this date, on Cinco de Mayo.
Hey!
Was it independence for Mexico? Was it some kind of civil war? What happened,
know.
Tony?
Just,
revolution?
I have no idea.
We are so...
I don't think it's independence.
Ignorant. We are ugly Americans.
I thought their Independence Day is in, like, November?
Not going to matter once we get that wall up there, right?
It's going to be a fantastic wall.
It's going to be a great wall.
And they're going to pay for
it. We know it's going to be huge. All right, on this date, May 5th, let's go to some birthdays. Former Jags, by the way, to my knowledge, it's not Paul Frazee's birthday. There are multiple renditions of Paul Frazee's birthday out there on the internet. Last time I talked to Paul, he's like, hey, thanks for the happy birthday greetings. It's not my birthday, however. I think it's tomorrow, but I could be wrong about that, too. One side I went to said it was Hollis and Frazee's birthdays today. Neither one of them was born on this date. But Bob Babich was, former Jaguar defensive coordinator, born on this date in 1947. You realize Bob Babich was a first-round pick of the San Diego Chargers back in 1969, linebacker. Bob Babich.
Yeah.
Bob Babich, 69 years young today, born on this date in 1973. Former Carolina Panther wide receiver, two-time Pro Bowler Musin Muhammad, is 43 years old today. Some more former Jags. 1975's Chris Howard was born. Remember, he out of Michigan in the early days, Double D, running back for the Jags for about 3 years. He turns 41. Russell Allen, remember, he retired at the age of 27 after having an on-field stroke during a Jaguar-Buffalo game a few years back.
It was a crazy story where he came to the sideline to Paul Puzlesny, and he was like, look at my eyes. Am I okay? Am I okay? And Paul's like, you're fine to me.
Right.
You know, let's go play football.
It happened on first down, they think. He finished the series, Tony, then finished the game, went back in. And Donovan just speaks to, in part, the fear of stepping out of a game, having another guy come take your spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't want to do that. I mean, I was just with Rasheem Mathis, you know, a couple of days ago. And, I mean, I think Marlon, who was it? Jason Kraft wound up getting hurt back when Rasheem came in and... And that's all she wrote. He had never seen, Jason Kraft never seen the field again.
That's what Russell Allen was probably afraid of at the time. Happy birthday to current Jaguar Tyler Shatley. Turns 25 years young today. And former Pittsburgh Steelers defensive back Ike Taylor, now working with Maurice Jones-Drew on the NFL Network, is 36 years old today. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, Adam Schefter was the first one I saw reported this morning on Twitter. According to a source, the Washington Redskins expected to be signing tight end Jordan Reed to a five-year, $50 million extension with $22 million guaranteed. Reed starred for Washington down the stretch last season, catching five touchdown passes in a three-week span at one point late in the year and catching nine passes for 120 yards and a touchdown. And their loss to Green Bay in the wild card round does have a history of concussions, so certainly a risk there for Washington with that extension. The slotted pay scale for the NFL draft has taken a lot of unnecessary drama out of the process since being put in place. This time, there were times years ago where we'd be waiting for first-round picks to get under contract late into the summer. That feels like it's gone. In fact, Indianapolis and Atlanta already locking down the number 17 and 18 overall picks with Keanu Neal in Atlanta, center Ryan Kelly in Indianapolis. They've both already agreed to terms on four-year deals with a fifth-year team option that first-round picks get as well. And in a story that we didn't have a chance to get to last week with all the draft talk late in the week especially, Oakland Raiders owner Mark Davis seems pretty serious about a potential move to Las Vegas. Davis said last week he is willing to put up $500 million of his own money towards a new stadium in Vegas for the Raiders. Will the league go for a team in or around Vegas? They certainly didn't want Tony Romo and crew, including Mike and I, to be out in Vegas talking fantasy football last year.
How dare we? By the way, Jordan Reed was a fantasy beast during the playoffs last year, weeks 14, 15, and 16.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to rank Jordan Reed right now, how many tight ends you take over Jordan Reed in fantasy this year?
Gronk, for sure. He may be the third or fourth tight end.
Hard to say Eifert wouldn't be, with all the touchdowns he scored last year, that he wouldn't be number two. I think Jordan Reed, arguably number three. You're always going to have to worry about him staying healthy, I think. But got him at a great value last year.
Yeah, you draft and maybe you come back and try to get somebody else, one of those high upside tight ends.
All right, I need Jordan to weigh in on yet another pickup line. Kevin's been firing him off all morning long, okay?
Let's hear it.
I think he's had a collective like 12 points out of 13 submissions on a scale of 1 to 10. That's not good. But this one has a chance, I think. He says someone walks up to you and says, "Hey, my friends bet that I cannot talk to the prettiest girl in the place. So, you want to use their money to buy some drinks?"
I like it.
That's not bad, right? That's not bad. It's kind of a little cheesy, but, you know, that's pretty solid right there.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Let's just enjoy a night on my dumb friends who I'm not afraid. So, what are we going to give it on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think that one, that's leading right now, so an 8.9.
8.9, all right. And just
try
so you
out
know.
Tonight. It's Cinco de Mayo. We know all you clowns are going to the bars.
What do you say?
Safe.
Write that down.
Try it. It doesn't mean your friends actually had to give you money. Just buy the girl a drink.
All right, and then finally, before we move on, at least for the moment, Doom, who was rebuffed, his line was rebuffed harshly by Jordan earlier, said, "He's starting to think Jordan is maybe more effort than most of us would throw out there on a typical Saturday night." Well, that's why you're not going, you know, out with Jordan on a typical Saturday
right.
night, because you're not willing to put forth the effort.
Yeah, it's all about the effort.
Come on, guy. Come on, Doom. All right, 641-1010. Is that Matt on the line, Tony? Is my eyesight fail me, or is that Matt?
That's Matt.
Hello,
from
Matt.
South Florida.
Matt, welcome to Jaguars Today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's up?
All right. I just wanted to talk about the we're still half off the Cardinals because they all suffered through the first wide receiver picks consecutively at Dean Smith. That was so frustrating. But what I'm talking about is Miles Jack, I think, is the best pickup for the offseason pickup, simply because, you know, anyone that watches the Jaguars is frustrated on third and long or by tight end. You know, there was Gronkowski and Tom Brady. Obviously, they're going to, you know, put up stats, but the way they did it was just ridiculous. We didn't even
put up. Matt, I got to jump in here, brother. Your phone is not cooperating. I think we got the gist of it. Miles Jack, you think, is the best offseason pickup, in part because his ability to cover tight ends, which is going to be a critical aspect. There's really nothing, Donovan, you look at Miles Jack, that he can't do. I don't think that you ask a linebacker to do, right? I mean, he's not – I know they want, you know, guys who play in the middle – to be prototypically maybe at 6'3", 6'4", 250-something pounds, and he's more like a 6'1", 240 guy. Nothing I've seen on film indicates that he cannot play anywhere in a linebacking corps.
Yeah, I mean, this in the game today has changed. I mean, it's no longer a fullback and, you know, kind of an I formation where you have to take on a lead block where you need to have that girth and 250, 260 pounds to take on a block and get off. I mean, this is more of a spread out, east and west. Of course, there is downhill running that the running backs do, but at the same time, to have a guy, I mean, you look at Mike Peterson when he was in the middle. I mean, he wasn't a big blazing or hefty guy. He was about 230, 235, but he had good skills, good intangible. He had something about him that you can't teach. And I think Miles Jack, from what I've seen so far, has that same thing.
Looking a little deeper in the draft, Yannick Ngakoue out of Maryland, we'll call them edge rushers, right? Whether outside linebackers, defensive ends, Tyrone Holmes out of Montana. You know, Ngakoue, I think, had 13 and a half sacks in the Big Ten. Tyrone Holmes, playing for Montana, had 18 sacks against, you know, lower-level competition, but very productive. That's all you can do is dominate, you know, whoever you line up against. And Jonathan Woodard in the final round at a Central Arkansas defensive end, a little bit bigger than those other guys who run around the 250, 255-pound range. In terms of a rookie coming in, and if you're just asking a guy like that to say, third down, seek and destroy, go get the quarterback, how effective can you be in your first year in the league?
I mean, I think you could be pretty effective, and I think one of the reasons because, you know, there's not too many things that they have to do. These guys are situational guys, and when you look at what Denver did last year, they kept rotating guys in, but they had their core guys. I mean, we have some core guys, and, of course, some Derek Marks and, you know, and those guys that's coming back from last year that has some experience. And so to bring a fresh guy in who has so much talent, the key to a lot of these guys, and we share it with them all the time, your first year is probably your greatest opportunity to be phenomenal. It's the greatest opportunity, and that's because people don't know you.
Okay.
And they haven't studied you. They haven't watched you. And so you can use everything you have to be dominating. But then after those years, you want to continue to be a professional and continue to be consistent in what you do. So these guys have a great opportunity to add depth and to compete for those positional situations.
Right. And of course, you're adding Dante Fowler Jr.,
yep,
you know, as a quote-unquote third top
five. I mean, think about it.
Pick.
We have basically three first-round guys who really have never played yet.
Top five talents.
Yeah. I mean, Dante Fowler, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack. And you think about it over the years, the way that the Jaguars have been successful or not has been a lot of things contributed to their first and second round draft choices in terms of their amount of impact. And the years that the Jaguars were not doing very well were the years that they really kind of, I would just say, flopped on them. And so over the last few years, having these impact guys come in, I think you're just optimistic about what they're able to do in terms of coming in and making a direct impact.
All right, let's get back to the phone, 641-1010. Ruben is next up here in Jacksonville. Hello, Ruben, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good, what's up?
Oh, I had my favorite pickup line is, do you have a Band-Aid? Because I scraped my knee falling for you.
Ah, all right, Jordan, a little sweet, but what do you think?
I'd give it a little over five, maybe like a 5.5.
Little over a five. All right.
Just because I've heard it before.
All right. She's heard it before, Ruben. That one's been getting around. I don't know. Maybe. Say again? Hold on. Say again?
Can I give you a second one?
Yeah, if you got one. Keep it clean.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. I can't wait till tomorrow because you get prettier every day.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. Ruben, can you get down here before the end of the show? I think you might have a lunch date, man. And apparently, Ruben, that's all simplicity, guys. That may be the key right there. Jordan smitten with Ruben right now.
I really liked that one.
That was good, Ruben. Nice play, sir. Way to take one for all the guys out there. You got to do a sweet sometimes, apparently, is the case. Double D, when you look over the course of everybody, you got all these draft picks. You got Malik Jackson up front, right? And we're not going to count Dante Fowler as a pickup. He was on the roster already, but Malik Jackson, Tayshaun Gibson, Chris Ivory offensively, Kelvin Beachum, potentially your new left tackle. That's kind of what got me thinking about this because Kelvin Beachum was talking to Jaguars.com and basically feeling like, hey, everything's headed in the right direction. He said, I don't know if you guys saw the quote, he expects to play 19 games this year, including getting a first-round bye in the playoffs. I mean, Super Bowl,
yeah.
Baby, is what he's talking about, which is fantastic. So out of all these guys, plus particularly the two high-profile draft picks here, who's the single guy right now that you would say is the leader in your clubhouse for the best pickup?
Man, oh. Well, I still go back to Miles Jack. Because he was a top five and he kind of fell back, and he gives the team an opportunity to do something on the back end because he is versatile. He can run, but then also on the front end in terms of in that front seven. So I think that he had the most tremendous upside. The reason why I didn't say necessarily Jalen Ramsey is because I think at the end of the day, looking at what they did with even with Rasheen, a guy of that type of caliber and talent, you want to kind of put him where he can be matched up with their best position. So he's not that he's not multidimensional, because he is, but I think where he can probably make his biggest impact is on the outside. Now, a lot of people say, well, you can put him in the middle of the field. there's not many just middle of the field players in the league. I mean, you don't want to just be a middle of the field guy. You want to be able to do it all. When they run the ball, I want to be able to stuff it. When they pass the ball, I want to defend it. When they throw it in the air, I want to come down with it. And so you want a guy who's versatile. I think he can do it, but I think probably their best fit for him will probably be on the outside, especially considering, what is it, House? Who's the guy that's suspended for four games?
Colvin.
So you got to have somebody of elite caliber with Green Bay coming in the first game. I mean, you got to have somebody in there that you can build upon.
Jordy wants to take an extra week. That's fine, you know, because those ACLs, we understand, they take a little time, Jordy. So do what you got to do. All right. But I was just thinking about what Ruben had to say here, right? So I can't wait till tomorrow because you get better looking every day. And then it dawns on you, you're like, wait a minute. This is the first time we met, and then Ruben goes, no, I've been stalking you. So, hey, and then it all comes crashing down for Ruben and company. This is the way it goes. I'm just keeping it real. Ruben, I'm kidding. Jordan, very much like your pickup line. Don't you wish you were in a nightclub with her right now? It would be amazing. All right, if you want to get in with your best Jaguar pickup of the offseason, you can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at Donovan Darius, at Jordan DeArmon, by the way, DeArmon. I got that right. How about that? Jordan, you better be able to spell Jordan if you're listening to a sports radio station. Tweet us your thoughts. Go to the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Coming back, we will hear next from Dave Caldwell, some of his thoughts as he appeared on NFL Network earlier this week about this draft class and more. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Donovan Darius here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony with Jaguar great Donovan Darius in the house. Check out DariusNextLevelTraining.com to find out what Donovan is up to as he helps improve your kids' football games, their life skills. He's got family camps. He's got all kinds of camps. But, Donovan, I'm looking at your June schedule coming up. You've got a one-day skills and drills football camp on June 5th that people can sign up for. All this is right at the website, DariusNextLevelTraining.com. You've got a two-day tackling camp in the middle of June. You've got another one that will follow immediately after that. So back-to-back tackling camps. And then a multi-day football camp that you can be a part of for 1, 2, or 3 days, depending on how long. That's going to be out in St. John's County. You've got they're all over the place. All the locales are laid out if you go to DariusNextLevelTraining.com. But here's one thing I wanted to share with people, because people always wonder, you know, well, you get an NFL player, he's running the camp. You're going to see him for about 30 seconds, and you're not going to get any interaction with him. And, you know, he's putting his name on it, and I get that. And they've been to camps like this before, I'm sure. I've got a sheet of quotes, feedback. I don't have time to read them all, but I tried to pick out a few that I thought were representative of the experience that some parents have had with their kids going to your camps. So let me read a couple here. Quote, it's a pleasure to meet Donovan Darius. It's evident he has a genuine love for children. My son really enjoyed the camp. I was also impressed that Donovan stayed around afterwards to talk and take pictures with the kids. He spoke with my son for a little bit after, and it meant a lot to him as well as to my husband and myself. The camp was wonderful. Next one. We sign our son up for every Donovan Darius camp possible. He loves it, and he always learns new skills. He has fun, too. I love the inspirational messages to the boys. Our son is not the most talented athlete, but he leaves the camp feeling like $1 million. Can't wait for the next. I think that is so important because – not every kid who's going to your camp is going to be a scholarship athlete. They're not all going to be varsity football players. They want to maximize the fun that they're having, whatever level that they play. And this is not just a camp about focusing on superstars. And I think that's so important, you know, to hear that, you know, look, my son is what he is, but he comes out feeling great and being a better football player and hopefully a better kid because of it. And then well-run camp, highly organized, very positive coaching staff. You hear that theme throughout. So there are many, many more testimonials. I think it speaks well to what you've been able to do so far.
Well, I appreciate it. And I think it all just goes back to individuals finding out what is their purpose and what are they passionate about. And I think for me, I'm passionate about encouraging and I'm passionate about teaching. And whatever it is, the skills that I have, what are the things I've learned, I love to pour it back out into the community, whether it's through my foundation or even through the athletic training. And so to your point, I deal with kids from ages all the way up 5 all the way up to high school age, but these camps are for 7 to 14-year-olds. And what I get a chance to do, and I love it, is really teach them the fundamentals, the skills of speed, agility, offense, defense, and really break it down in a fast learning way. I really believe that you can project to these kids that they will, you know, they will be successful, and they will be. I think you can project that, you know, that they are positive, and they will be. And I think a lot of it comes to the art and the skill of coaching. And so I've been blessed to be around some great coaches, and I just, you know, just love the kids.
You know, it's interesting you said, because I think there's, you know, you get, I've heard some people say, oh, you know, this generation, they've been saying for a while, too concerned about self-esteem and da-da-da. Self-esteem's important for kids, man. I mean, I remember being a kid when you feel good about yourself and have some confidence in your abilities and whatever, whether it's football, academics, anything, you're going to have more success and you're going to enjoy doing it a lot more.
You know, and you're exactly right. And that's what the nature and the environment of these camps are. They're highly motivational. They're highly encouraging, positive reinforcement on the necessary skills and drills that we need, you know, for these kids. And then throughout the camp, the messaging, you know, of discipline, the messaging of respect, the messaging of commitment are spread throughout all of these camps through my coaches, through myself, and to that one parent point. Yes, these things are highly structured and organized, but they're very adaptable and flexible. And that's what you have to have for these kids to learn, and also for these kids to really come away with understanding that this is like, I want a parent to come away with the best experience. I'll give you a prime example. I actually do feedback forms after my event is done, and parents fill out surveys online. And 1 to 5, they score 5 being the highest. I had one parent that had a 3 out of 5. And so what I do is I called that parent and I wanted to find out what happened. And apparently the person who told them about the camp did not tell them that it was for a certain age group. So their child came out and he was above the age. You know, he was one of 6'4" guy, 270 pounds. He did not know. And so I just wanted to take the time to really go back and say, hey, what happened, and refund the money. And he didn't participate at all, but it matters to me. What it matters to me is the experience of the kids, the experience of the parents, everyone, because you only have one chance sometimes to pour into life of this generation and to the youth, and you want to maximize it. So that's why I hold these events around town, you know, for anybody from any skill level to get involved.
All right, and again, the age is 7 to 14, so if you got a kid in that age range and you're anticipating he's going to be driving you crazy in the month of June, go to all 4 camps, right? You got them all month long. DariusNextLevelTraining.com, and if you click on Youth Athletic Camps, so the big picture of Donovan talked to a bunch of kids there. I'll have all the details on the dates and pricing structure and the whole nine yards and what you'll get out of it. And great testimonials keep pouring in for Donovan and the work he's doing. All right, let's get to Dave Caldwell now. Earlier this week, he was on NHL. That'd be good, right? He's talking hockey with the boys.
The hockey guys.
Over on the
get
NHL
on.
Network. NFL HQ on NFL Network. And obviously was asked about the draft class that is getting rave reviews, Tony. Starting with Jalen Ramsey, and Dave was asked if he expected Ramsey to fall and be available at the number 5 pick.
Well, we were, because we heard rumors of both San Diego and Dallas going after him, and then there was the potential of teams behind us. And I know we had some trade calls coming up for teams coming up to 5-2 for him. So once Dallas passed on him, we felt good about it, and there wasn't really an offer that kind of got us off of picking Jalen at 5.
You know, Tony,
how many offers were they listening to when they were on the phone with Jalen Ramsey? Said his phone rang with that 904 area code a minute.
Right. They weren't listening. At that point, they weren't listening, I don't think. But when Bosa came off the board, I think we all were like, okay, this is good. This is probably good. We don't think he's the top guy on their board. He was higher, I think, than some suspected, including myself,
Ramsey
towards
went.
The end.
Bosa
would have been the next pick, right? Yeah. And then, but it had, with Bosa going, Donovan, to San Diego, then you had to worry, well, will Dallas go Ramsey? And if they do.
And that's what I thought. I thought Dallas would pick Ramsey because of the type of guy he was.
Then you have to wonder, based on the way they said their board stacked up, I think DeForest Buckner would have been the next guy on their board.
They couldn't get out of 5.
Right. Yeah. Would they have gotten an offer for Laremy Tunsil if they, you know, if they, instead of rushing the pick in, which I think they made the right decision, they wanted Ramsey, they weren't going to trade out of that spot. But if you had played that out for 8 minutes, would you have been able to negotiate a trade down? I don't know.
With everything that was happening.
It would feel so much different having DeForest Buckner. No offense to DeForest Buckner. He's probably going to be a hell of a football player and maybe would end up being the better pick, right? But right now, You wouldn't feel that way, I don't
think.
This
pick has juice. The Ramsey pick has juice for the city of Jacksonville. As Caldwell on with NFL HQ on NFL Network was also asked about the impact that number five pick, Jalen Ramsey, will have.
Well, for us, he's a great scheme fit. He's got the length that we look for. He's got he's 210 pounds. He runs a 4.4. So for us and our scheme and what we look for, he's an ideal fit. And it was probably one of the easier decisions we've had here in our 3 years.
Look, I made the comment just kind of quickly and offhandedly last week. We're talking about the comparison between Deion Sanders and Jalen Ramsey, right? And they want to make that comparison, Donovan, in part because they went to the same school, and Deion is trying to mentor him a little bit. And I quickly came out and said, Jalen Ramsey's a great athlete. He's not a Deion Sanders athlete. Jalen Ramsey, in some ways, may be a better athlete than Deion Sanders, but when you think of Deion, that was like legit 4.2 speed, okay? And Ramsey's fast for a guy his size. Deion, true, in my lifetime, the term shutdown corner is defined by Deion Sanders. I don't think there's been a better cornerback in my lifetime. I haven't seen them all play. Going back to Night Train Lane, I can't tell you how they all played, but I mean, Deion was a guy that was in the hip pocket of the best receiver all game long, and it got to the point where quarterbacks didn't even think to go to his side of the field. Jalen Ramsey, if he's half the player Deion Sanders is, he'll be worth the fifth pick overall in this draft.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, I mean, don't get it twisted. I mean, he's no Deion Sanders. Like you said, I mean, he may have went to the same college, but he's not. Jalen Ramsey, because of his size and everything, he is that hybrid guy. He is the guy that can play safety, that can cover wide receivers in the slot, and the fact that he's a corner as well, he can cover them on the outside. So he adds that dimension. Deion he was a specialty player on the outside, and he'll lock them down. He had great recovery speed, and he had great intangibles. His instincts, Ramsey does not have the instincts that Deion had. And so you're not going to, it's very hard to compare. 4.4, 4.2, there's, you know, it's like light years away.
And Deion had great hands. I mean, phenomenal hands.
All time, right.
And where Deion Sanders arguably was the most dangerous guy in my lifetime with the ball in his hands in the NFL for this reason. And you say, well, Barry Sanders or Mike Vick, those guys are dangerous, but they know you're getting the ball. When Deion got it, it was a scramble drill, right? And you got five linemen out on the field, got no chance, right? So you've got two or three guys that have any shot, and they better get him within the first 10 yards or so or get the angle on.
The comparison I heard for Ramsey, and I like it, I don't know if he'll ever be this player, but it's Charles Woodson. I think he's a super athletic guy that can play all kinds of positions for you on the defensive side of the ball. He doesn't necessarily need to be the shutdown corner, but he can take away a lot from an opponent, and that's okay. You're talking about Deion, like you said, he may be the best shutdown guy in the history of the league. It's unfair to draw those kind of comparisons. Honestly, it's unfair to draw a comparison to Charles Woodson before he's taken a snap in the NFL, but that's the kind of level of comparisons you're going to get when you're getting a guy selected at the cornerback position in the top five of the NFL draft.
All right, let's move on to that second pick. Dave Caldwell asked about Miles Jack, and was he keeping an eye on him throughout the first round as he continued to slide?
We did, and we had discussions. There was four players we had there targeted at five, and he was one of the four, and there was a situation if we did trade back a little bit, he very well could have been our pick in the first round. As he started to fall, you know, late on Thursday evening, we decided let's try to go up and try to get him, and we just didn't want to give up our fourth-round pick to go into the first round, so... So we slept on a little bit, and I said, hey, if he starts to fall, you know, in the San Diego, Baltimore, reached out to those teams and said, hey, we'll give you our fifth to go up and get him. And knowing that there were teams trying to jump up in front of us to get him. And when he got to there at 36 and Baltimore made the trade with us, we felt good about it.
Still surprising to me that he was there at 36, all things considered, when you had several picks come off the board to start round two.
Like I said, my favorite player in this draft. I've been saying it for a couple months, and they got him at 36. It was unbelievable last Friday night. Caldwell was asked about Miles Jack, of course, the big question being about that knee and how healthy he is. He was asked if he's healthy enough to play.
Yeah, right now, and speaking to, and I got to give a lot of credit to our medical staff and our trainers. They did a lot of research on this, and talking to his operating surgeon at UCLA and said, hey, if he was at UCLA right now, he would be in spring ball.
Yeah.
And we went and worked him out 2 weeks ago and had a great workout for us. He was diving for balls and had an incredible workout. So I think as we get him in here, he's not going to be eligible to be in here for OTAs until minicamp, our veteran minicamp, because of his graduation date. But right now he looks good. He's lost about 15 pounds, and I don't see anything at this moment that would prohibit him from being on the field.
Usually I hate that about the Pac-12, just hate the fact that they can't be here, because even if they're pulled themselves out of school, they have to wait until that semester's class is graduated and classes are done. But in this case for Miles Jack, whereas you'd like him to be here so he could at least mentally focus on football, I don't mind giving him a little extra time on the sidelines. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to – look, you're eventually going to have to cut him loose, let him go full bore 100%. But, based on what happened last offseason, a few extra weeks or whatever on the sidelines not going to kill Miles Jack at this point in time. Dave Caldwell, this is one that was much discussed this week. Talking about Gus Bradley, now expectations continuing to rise for this football team. And Dave, again, on NFL HQ, on NFL Network, was asked, is this a make-or-break season for Gus Bradley?
I wouldn't say it's a make-or-break season. And I think for us, we've always targeted year four and year five in this kind of building of this team. And we wanted to make good, safe, sound decisions and build a foundation for the first 3 years and then take a little bit of risk this year going into year four. And you saw that with the Miles and pick and some of our free agent acquisitions. And we're making a push for it. Coach Bradley and his staff, they do a great job. And I think we just have to show improvement and continue to show improvement. I don't know what that looks like in the wins and loss columns, but I expect good things, and our best football is ahead of us.
Year four and year five. I think it's interesting that he goes forward with that answer that way, and I think it's important for people outside that are fans of this team to understand that's the way they're looking at it inside that building, and they've been pretty upfront about that throughout this process since they decided to keep Gus Bradley.
And because I think they're confident, Tony, that it's about to break out, too.
I think
right?
so, too.
I mean, and you, it's
it
difficult.
Could be bad enough in year four that they have to go to another plan, but the sense you get, the further we get into this offseason, is it would have to be pretty bad for them to not give a fifth year to
way beyond what they're anticipating right now. And then finally?
Dave Caldwell, one last comment from him yesterday talking about how far can this football team go?
Well, I always say this, and when you have to count on rookies to come in to make a difference, I think you're going to be in trouble. I think the body of work of what we did in the offseason, some of the veterans we brought in, these rookies always make their biggest jump from year one to year two. So we're going to bring them along slowly, and we hope for the best. But I think we got enough good veteran leadership on this team right now where we should be able to compete in the AFC South.
Did he say 19-0? Was that what I heard? Was it 19-0? I thought I could have sworn I heard 19-0. Kelvin Beachum's talking 19 games. I like it. I don't mind it. Kelvin Beachum got me excited, his interview with Jaguars.com. The knee, feeling good. Thinks they're on a good pace. His plan is to play every single game this year. And obviously, his plan is to beat out Luke Jokel. We'll find out. This Jokel's backs against the wall as far as his Jacksonville career goes. And like most people right now would say Beachum's the betting favorite there. We'll see how that whole situation plays out. We'll come back in a moment. We'll take a look at the fan feedback question today, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, which asked, what is the best pickup that the Jags have made, free agent or draft pick, this offseason? Weigh in on that. We've been getting the pickup lines being sent in hot and heavy as well, and you're welcome to continue to send those in on this Cinco de Mayo. With Donovan Darius, with Fat Tony, with Jordan DeArmond, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, I got a question here. This is an important one, Donovan. This is a serious one. On Twitter, from Chris Rushford. It says, is Donovan's camp good for girls who are interested in football? I have a six-year-old, so it'll still be a year. But the thinking ahead, are you female-friendly at your football camps?
Oh, most definitely, man. We have, in all the camps, our last camps we had, hosted was during spring break. And we had a few girls out there as well. And so as long as they're in the age limit, they can definitely come out. And sometimes when we have our races at the end, some of the girls actually outshine a boy.
I don't doubt that they do. by the way, Duval Doom tweeting a picture of a girl. Doom, you might want to get a paternity test. That girl is way too cute to have been sired by you, sir. One of the best days he's had as a dad, and a big part of why his daughter loves football, and she's running with the ball wearing a Donovan Darius youth football, Donovan Darius Foundation football camp shirt there. So there's a testimonial for you, Doom. But seriously, Doom, I don't know what the DNA test costs. Probably worth it for you.
Wasn't the story that Double D made him run the 40?
Doom?
Yeah.
Did he? I don't remember.
I think that was the story. Was it at that, or it may have been like the Jaguars youth camp? One or the other, somebody made him run a 40-yard dash.
A 40-foot dash, maybe, for Doom? I don't know. What are you guessing Doom in the 40? Can he break 8? 7? I can break 7. You'd be surprised, man. All you need to get those little legs going. I mean, Beef, when we did the 2-lap, we did a producer's combine a few years ago, right?
Okay.
And you would think Donna Murphy would have smoked the field, right? And she did very well athletically, but for a while, it looked like Beef was going to win. That we did a 2-lap race around the building. Had it been a 1-lap race, Beef would have won it.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
But the stamina.
The monkey jumped on his back.
The stamina.
Wow.
The stamina.
Way to get you, man.
The stamina.
Don't be a start dash.
Beef,
you know?
Come on now. You know it's true.
There was concern. When he rounded the final corner, I've been told that there was concern that Beef would survive the race.
Right. Would he be a victim of a heart attack, some kind of massive coronary failure in the last 50 feet or so? We were not hoping for that, Beef, but we knew it was a distinct possibility at the time. I'm just sad the audio's gone.
So there's the concern for my life, but we don't ever talk about the weird hedgehog grunting that Hacker was doing to find, like, the second gear to finish the
race. All right, B, on a list of weird things that Hacker has done or said or made noises about, it's like number 72.
Right. But,
so,
I mean, imagine being me. You feel like you're literally on death's door running around this building, and you feel like this might be it. This might be the moment I check out. And in the background, you're...
and then
Hacker's coming up behind you with his little stumpy little Tyrannosaurus legs.
Yes, and then he made a dive, a literal dive for the finish
like
line,
a face dive,
and came up short
on the sidewalk.
And here's the thing, Double D, there was no prize for second.
There was
okay,
zero prize.
Murphy,
for
Murph, Donna
Murph
Murphy
just
won.
Cruises around.
She cruised to victory, and
not even sweating.
Hacker just wanted to face plant for second place.
Oh, you two are fat pigs.
Yeah, pretty much out went. All right, the question of the day. Brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Donovan's so happy he came in today. He's like, man, what did I get myself into?
I'm having a good time, Donovan.
Let's see. The question of the day. Doom said he ran a 7.4, by the way.
Oh, nice.
I was in the ballpark there.
Yeah.
Donovan, he said you ran it with them backwards, though. Do you recall this?
It's been a minute, man.
It's
been a minute.
Doom, the 7.4 seems about right. That sounds legit. A legit 7.4, Tony. Hey, is that hand-timed or electronic? I don't know. Question of the day is this. Who is the best pickup, free agent or draft pick, single best pickup for the Jags this offseason? Tony, what do we get?
Here's what we got from Paolo. This is a hard one, but I'll say Tashaun Gibson is going to elevate this defense to a new level. From Cristiano Gibson, needed a ball hawk. So I love this guy so much. And from Irish Jaguar, Tashaun Gibson, proven vet, that comes in and fills one of the more egregious holes on the roster. From Kevin, we got, let's see, those are a couple pickup lines that I had.
Yeah, you
got to
be careful now
from
some of these.
From Black Dog, landing Malik Jackson to get my top spot. From Eric, going with Jack still to get him in the second for only a fifth. Can't beat that. From Jarrell, tough one to say with no games played yet, but Tashaun Gibson is my pick. From Isaiah, Tashaun Gibson. From Kevin, Kevin again with the pickup line. From Jag fan, Tashaun Gibson. He fixes that mass hole in the secondary. So a lot of Gibson love in this question.
There is. Here on Facebook, we got first vote from Chad for Miles Jack. Seth went with maybe the best hashtag I've seen in a while. Seth said, Ivory, Chris Ivory, no more sheer terror when the Jags have to pick up a third and one or a third and goal. Hashtag no more quadruple stuffed Tobios. Okay, in honor of Toby Gerhardt's four consecutive efforts at the stripe against Buffalo. Let's see. Derek said, hard to say. We got Pro Bowlers Beecham and Gibson with their injury baggage. We've got Russ Landy's best he's ever seen linebacker with injury baggage. Former first-round Prince of Mukamara, former first-round pick Prince of Mukamara with injury baggage. I'll take the only healthy guy, Jalen Ramsey. Hashtag see the theme. Dustin Smith said, oh, listen to this one, Jordan. Best pickup of the offseason. Jaguars today picking up Jordan DeArmond.
Woo!
It's like a 10-day contract, though, in the NBA. You know, you don't know if she's going to earn a second one. You don't know if Devitt's going to have a job when he gets back, quite frankly.
You never know.
Damon went with Jalen Ramsey, the best get for the Jaguars. True potential shutdown corner. Let's see. Russell Tapley went with Tayshaun Gibson. Hoyle went with Tayshaun Gibson. Les went with Tayshaun Gibson. Joe went with Tayshaun Gibson, and then he said, here for a pickup line, have you had helmet-to-helmet contact? because you got fine written all over you. Right? Tony said he's been using that one since grade school, but it was like library books.
Yeah, overdue library book.
And then finally,
back in the day when they actually stamped fine on it. Fine!
Fine. Marshall Tulang said, Miles Jack, hashtag, please stay healthy. Jack's pride. There you go. So I will go. I'm going to go with Beecham because I think you can't underestimate how often did we complain about Luke Jokel or the line itself, the left side of the line, not getting any push. Right now, you're talking about the upgrade is possibly a journeyman in Mackenzie Bernadeau playing guard. I'm not saying he won't be an upgrade, but then, you know, maybe it's Tyler Shatley. But again, the question we posed, the Beatles were so bad, why didn't Shatley get on the field last year and push for more playing time? You know, you get Beecham. If he elevates that left tackle position, solidifies the left side of the line, look, hopefully they're all impact guys, right, Donovan?
I love that we have this many options in this kind of question
for
the first time in a while. Yeah.
Right, it's not like, oh, this guy who's going to play, you know, first and second down linebacker. It's just, you know, you got, wow, three down potential Pro Bowl. You're thinking, Malik Jackson, if he was a Pro Bowler, are you going to be surprised? You shouldn't be. Tayshaun Gibson's been a Pro Bowler. Shouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't expect Beecham to come off the torn ACL and return to Pro Bowl form, but could play at a high level for you. Jack and Ramsey, I'm not expecting Pro Bowls as rookies, but certainly, you know, impact players. Donovan, it's been a while, I think, since they've had added this much quality depth to this team. They signed a lot of guys last year. I think there's more potential frontline guys this year than ever before.
I think so. I think one of the great things that I'm looking forward to is this is really the first time that they added beyond just the depth, but they added an opportunity for competition in these positions for a guy to really stand out. When we talk about the secondary and all their additions they had, and sure, you're bringing guys in, Prince, and you're bringing Jalen, and you're bringing you know, all these, you know, all the other guys in, but I think really to allow these guys to compete, but, you know, a person will say, well, how can they compete when you have a first team, second team? I think from a productivity standpoint, coaches know how to evaluate you when you're out there, when you're doing one-on-ones versus the receivers, you're doing one-on-ones versus tight ends, running back. And then also when you're putting these 7-on-7, 9-on-7 drills where, again, your run fits. And so I think really if they can go into this, this is probably their first offseason that they had a chance to do it and really allow these guys to compete and may the best man win. When I say it's not about the physicality, but it's who can put themselves in the right position, who can process the best, who can give this team the best opportunity to be consistent. The last few years, the Jaguars have been consistent, but they've been consistently inconsistent. So that's what they've been great at being inconsistent. Some had to do with their youth. Some had to do with just guys, you know, injuries. But I think this is the first time that they're having enough depth where guys can actually compete and may the best man win. And then, but at the same time, you'll have a greater depth of a higher quality behind them. And so that's what I'm looking forward to, even going back to where Miles Jack may fit, what happens with Cyprian, what happens with Josh Evans, with Tayshaun, you know, all those guys. Just let them kind of compete. Just let them compete for when you're on the field, are you making plays? Are you in the right position that you need to be? And I think may the best man win.
Wouldn't it be an awful problem to have too many good players to get on the field at any one time, right?
Well, that's what you want. You want that. You are a first team guy for a reason. I think this is the first year when we look at the Jaguars roster that they have guys you have more than one guy that can really be potential first round guy or the first team guy. And you want that. Because you're only one play away from being injured from the next guy stepping up. And so you want to add that quality depth.
All right, that's going to do it. You get the last word there. He is Donovan Darius, well-deserving of it. Great to see you, my man. He could play Luke Cage right now, Tony. You give him another week in the gym, and he will play the next Hulk after Ruffalo hangs up the acting chops as far as that goes. Double D, DariusNextLevelTraining.com. Get all the info there about Donovan's full slew of upcoming June football camps. So check those out for kids age 7 to 14. Great job, Donovan, as always. And follow Donovan on Twitter, simply at Donovan Darius. For Fat Tony, for Jordan DeArmond, I'm Mike Dempsey. A couple last notes here. Matt said, come on, the steal the show lady was the best pickup of the offseason.
Steal the show.
You know, he may be right there. And then Miles went with Monty Kiffin because he said he just wanted to be different. We weren't counting coaching pickups, but that's fine. Look, I don't care. I hope they all make a major impact this season. Then it doesn't matter who gets the credit. Get the W's. That's the important thing. That does it for us. The Midday Chalk coming up next. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.